And we are live. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the Beit HaMoked, or this large hearth home, the second largest building on the Temple Mount, which had a dome. As we discussed, I mentioned to you about the different chambers, the four different chambers. We talked briefly about the chamber that you would come pick up your receipts from to buy the oils, the flour, and the wine. One interesting thing about that is that according to what we would call liberal calculations, the stones of the Mizbeach would occupy approximately, and believe it or not, there's 81,000 cubic feet. Now, to store 81,000 cubic feet of stone, apparently it requires a room that's 10 feet high and 90 feet long by about 90 feet wide. The Beis HaMoked is not nearly that large, and certainly one of the chambers couldn't be so large, which lends us to understand that there must have been an enormous basement area under the Beit HaMoked. Now, the Beit HaMoked is on the east side, so that's further away, and we don't know of any tunnels, but an enormous cavernous area that had to have been filled with stone. At any rate, across the little hallway, or across the room, on the other corner, we had this chamber, which was called we don't have a name for it, we just said Tzfeinus Ma'aravus. On the southwestern side, we had an area which was called Yerdin Lebeis HaTvila. This was kind of an entranceway that went into the underground passageway. It took us into a mikveh area. Now, the Rambam says, so how did this work? How did you go into the mikveh? We learned that this was basically the Mikdash dormitory, and the Dome of the Rock was in a dormitory where people would sleep. Kohanim would have these like staggered stones, and they would kind of sleep on different, like almost shelves or little little chambers that had been hewn out in the stone. Younger Kohanim slept on the floor. There was even one Kohen who was sleeping on top of a tile. Under that tile was a little area, a storage area, with the keys to the Beis HaMikdash, and he would sleep on the keys. So nobody else can get in the Beis HaMikdash. It was under lock and key during the night. At any rate, when these Kohanim would wake in the morning, they would have to immerse in the mikveh. They would still be on the other side of the demarcation, the little pispisin we talked about yesterday, the little wood or little stone chips that divided between one half of the room and the other, and they would have to go to the mikveh. So they would go into this chamber, and this chamber, Hayered Lebeis HaTvila Milishkazu, the person would go into this chamber from to the house of immersion, to the ritual area, from this chamber. He would go in a long tunnel that actually traversed the entirety of the Mikdash, or at least a good section of the area of the Azara. What is a Mesibah? So we actually have two opinions as to what a Mesibah is. The Bartanura, Bavadja Bartanura, maintains that a Mesibah is a ramp. So there would be like a ramp going down. There was like a, and they would just go down this ramp, and the ramp would take them into a deep, deep tunnel. The tunnel, we believe, led under the chel, or perhaps under portions of the Azara, and it went into the area northward where the Antonio Fortress was. And underneath the Antonio Fortress, there were washrooms and a mikveh. It wouldn't be appropriate for that to be under the Beis HaMikdash. That was further north. We think it went under the chel, although we're not 100% sure about it. Along the way, there were little niches cut out in the stone, and there were little oil lamps placed there, so that it was an illuminated pathway, and you can go when it was dark anyway, you're beneath the ground, and you'd have illuminated pathways, you knew exactly where you were going. Nedas hayadolkas mikan abikan, illuminated pathway on either side of this tunnel, Ad Shemagia LeBeis HaTfila, until you came into the area of the Beis HaTfila. In the Mesechet called Tamid, the Mefirish, we don't know who it is, it's an anonymous commentator, he says that there was a spiral staircase, an actual staircase that went beneath the area, which took you deep into the ground, so it wasn't a ramp, and then once you got deep into the ground, you accessed the tunnel, and the tunnel, without being in a ramp, would go cut straight across the area of the Chel until you would head northward into the area of the mikveh. Now, the Rambam says in the actual area of the mikveh, which remember is a tunnel or a cave that's cut into the ground, or perhaps was a natural cave, but it's deep in the ground. So what's the temperature going to be like? It's going to be very cold. It's going to be cold in the winter, it's going to be cold in the summer. It's going to be cold. You're deep in the ground in a cavernous cavity. This we don't even know how deep it was, but significantly deep. We're not sure how water got there. We don't really know much about this. We just know this is what the Gemara tells us. So the Gemara also tells us, and the Rambam quotes this, Madura Hoysasham, there was a large fire burning there. So that means from this cave, deep in the ground, there must have been a chimney that was hewn out,
the smoke had to be escaping somewhere, and therefore we have to presume that wherever this cavity is, there is somehow a way out. I don't know if a person could crawl out, but there is some kind of chimney, some kind of area for the smoke to escape. And the reason that it was burning there is because people go to the mikveh. They're in this frozen area, deep in the ground. The water was probably very cold. You know, people talk about the proverbial cold waters of the Arizal's mikveh. The water is probably significantly colder, right? Like borderline freezing. So in order for the kohanim to be a little bit more comfortable, it was this large raging fire that they would warm themselves in front of. And they would dry themselves. And there was also a Beis HaKisei. It was called the washroom of honor. But what makes a washroom honorable? So Rambam says, Zehu Kveide. This makes a washroom honorable. It doesn't say that there was beautiful carpets or fancy tile work, but it does say that there was a lock and key. Now, this is normal in today's day and age. Most washrooms have doors on them. Once upon a time, that was not the case. Outhouses did not have doors. And, you know, when people would squat, they would just squat. When I was in Russia in the 1993, I came across plenty of train stations that were from the last century that did not have doors. I was rather traumatized. At any rate, in those days, it was not a common thing to have a door. So here, there was a door. This was an honorable bathroom. Matsoy Nol, if you found the door closed, be yadua shiyasham adam, somebody was using the washroom. Think of it like, you know, you have those in the airplane, it says occupied. You knew the area was occupied, so you'd back away. Now, we also have to make the assumption that there was sewage and there was drainage. So this deep cave in the ground had to have an escape for the fire, for the smoke, and it also had to have an area in which the sewage would go out. Final details about this tunnel is that there were a number of other tunnels, we know this, that were beneath the area of the Beis HaMikdash. And it is possible that these tunnels were actually connected. It is possible that there were gates or doors between these tunnels and that people accessed one tunnel or the other. We don't know this with certainty. Supposedly, they have some tunnels mapped out today. They're able, through infrared, they're able to see some of the tunnels that are beneath the Azara or beneath the area where we purport the Beis HaMikdash was. One thing is certain, you're talking about a mountain, you're talking about the possibility of caves, and so it is eminently possible that this was not hewn out, but rather there was actual bedrock grottos or caves that were simply utilized for the purposes that we are discussing over here. And that, my dear friends, is how we're going to conclude our discussion of the second largest building in the actual Beis HaMikdash proper, in the area of the Azara. And from here, we'll move into the actual Azara area, and we'll start talking about scrimmages and different areas of holiness and what they were used for. Somebody has to hit the blue button so we can go on to Mincha. There better be a blue button. It's going to be a button.
Take a look. You'll see the blue button. There's a finish button.
A finish button.